Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right. Well, as we are in this middle of this series called Dream, we're actually kind of living this out a little bit too. So what I want to do is I just want to give you a quick update on the building. And as you can tell, we moved. So, you guys all got the message. Some of the other ones, they may actually be showing up right now and seeing the sign that says we moved to a new location and they'll come in later, right? That's what will happen. But man, we just had an incredible week here. So we started on Monday and we were able just to clean and clean and then clean some more. And then we tore down wallpaper and then we tore down wallpaper and then we fought with the wallpaper and then we tore down wallpaper. And let me just see it. Wallpaper, I think, may be from the devil. I'm just going to throw that out there. But I just want to say a huge thank you to all those that helped in the cleaning process. It was just incredible to see the team do that. And then, again, a huge thanks to everybody that moved yesterday with us. We showed up at 9 o'clock, and we were actually done by 4 p.m., which is just insane. And everything was just clicking. Everybody was working and moving. So let me just, if you're here today, give a round of applause to those who that cleaned and moved, okay? And you can tell who that is because they're the ones that can't move their arms to clap. That's the ones who moved a little bit. So that's kind of a quick update. So we are in here. And then the next project is really the whole repair process. So over the next few weeks, we're going to do some small things here and there. I will tell you this. If you like something in this building, don't. Because it's probably going to get changed, right? The one thing that's going to be constant about this building is it will change so that it can help so we can reach more people. But, so don't like anything. Don't like the pews. Don't like the color of the walls. Don't like the stained glass windows. Don't like anything. I'm just telling you that. And we're going to do some updates to the bathrooms probably coming up here. And then again, and July 10th through July 24th will be the large portion of the repair process where we're going to be switching out all these fluorescent lightings to can lightings, things like that. We're going to be building a permanent wall. If you saw back there, there's like a piece of tape. It's there for a reason, so you can kind of picture where the wall will be, so there'll be some separation from here to the kids' rooms. There's a bunch of different things going on. There's going to be a permanent kids' check-in. A beautiful sound booth will actually turn into a permanent sound booth back there. The stage will get a little bit changed and kind of extend. There'll be a bunch of things that are going on. The back room that looks empty, that'll actually turn into a cry room for mothers and for babies and infants, so that'll be cool. It's just some really neat additions that are going on that we don't want you to miss. And that, again, is going on from July 10th through July 24th. So I would say this, we still need help. So if you have any type of skills, like if you have math skills, not that just that you like talk it, but you actually can do it, we want your help. Like if you can paint, if you can frame out walls, if you can drywall, there's some septic and plumbing stuff. Everybody gets excited about that. If you can do those things, we want you to jump in. If you have carpenter skills to build some things, we want you to jump in. And there is a sign-up sheet, or you can see Mike Cook, who's back on the soundboard. You can see him if you want to jump in. And what we're going to do is really going to be a two-week phase where we're going to be knocking a bunch of stuff out in this building. And during that, there's obviously a Sunday that falls in there. So July 17th, we are not actually going to have service here because it will be under construction. We're going to take our service and we're going to move it to the Grove, which is the old Owens Corning Fiberglass Park. We're going to have service at 8 a.m. on July 17th. Like, who's excited about 8 a.m., right? Yeah, pumped up. I'm just going to say July 16th, you might want to put your kids to sleep a little bit earlier so that you can jump in. But July 16th, put your kids to sleep a little earlier. Come to July 17th, and we're actually going to have some baptisms in the river. We're going to have some baptisms. So it's going to be an incredible service, and we're really partnering up with the community. We've got invited to be a part of the Relay for Life, their event. So we're going to be jumping that on July 17th, so you won't want to miss that. But those are just some of the quick announcements and everything that's going on. And I'll kind of keep you updated as we go through the next several weeks. But really what we're going to do today is we're going to end this series, Dream. And I think if you look around, really this building is a dream for us. It's even more than we could have imagined. And just so you know, like we're a church plant, right? We're not even 2 years old. Churches necessarily don't acquire a building like within 2 years. That's their own, right? That's not necessarily normal. Like some of the church planning circles are going through, they're like, what? Really? It's just a God thing. He's working out this whole thing of more than. And then the series of Dream, we've really been able to experience this stuff that goes along with a dream. If you remember from the first week, we remembered and learned that there's no regret that God cannot redeem. And then we learned that the journey prepares us for the destination. And what's incredible about looking at this process and us going moving, it's really just part of the journey. This is not the destination at all. I think God has so much more for us as a church because he's called us to be a change agent. And as we conclude and we look at this and we conclude this this series dream, I think what we want to do is really look at the vision of Life Change Church. Because I think everything we've experienced so far is just allowing us to be a change agent. It's really preparing us for the destination. Because the fact is, the vision of Life Change Church has nothing to do with the building. Has nothing to do with this building even. And it never will. The vision of Life Change Church is simple. It's to love people to life change. Love people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the truth is, that is what we're called to do. We're called to build relationships with others, to point them to Jesus and to a growing relationship with Jesus. And the fact is, a lot of people need this. There's a lot of people who don't know Jesus. There's a lot of people who have a bad taste in their mouth about church. Maybe they went to church and then they got hurt. It wasn't God. It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't even the church that hurt him. It was probably a single person, because we all are flawed. But what we're called to do is we're called to love people into that growing relationship with Jesus. There's a lot of people who've walked away from church and they've walked away from God. And there's a lot of people who don't have hope. There's a lot of people who are frustrated. They're angry. They're upset. And what they're really doing is they're looking for contentment. And the truth is, contentment, it's not found in a place. It's not found in a building. Because we have this building, isn't it incredible, like, oh, somebody's going to find contentment? Because contentment is found in the person, and it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus lived a perfect life for each and every one of us because we couldn't. And then died on a cross, and then was risen again to give us new life, to give us hope, to give us a life that's eternal. And there's a lot of people who need that. And what's incredible is that we have a part to play in. We have a part to reach those who don't know Jesus. There's family members that we can probably think of right now who don't know Jesus. There's friends of ours that we can think of right now that probably are looking for contentment, that are searching for hope. There's probably neighbors of ours that are so far away, that's struggling and going through life. And we are called to love those people into that growing relationship with Jesus so that they can find the contentment and the hope that's only found in Jesus. And to do this, we have to be spiritual contributors. Because the truth is, we are not called to be spiritual consumers, but we are called to be spiritual contributors. And this is what I want you to walk away with. This is the main point today. As we conclude this series of dream, we need to understand that in order to live out our dreams, that we are not called to be spiritual consumers, but we're called to be spiritual contributors. And you see Jesus model this in his life. What we're going to do is we're going to look at this story that Jesus kind of shared and it shows of Jesus in John chapter 4, verses 31 through 34. So if you have your Bibles, go there to John chapter 4, verses 31 through 34. And I'll tell you this, if you don't have a Bible, you can download the YouVersion Bible app. And what's great is that the internet is already up and rolling and the password is the same thing as the last one and the Wi-Fi is the same. And if you don't remember that, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Easy enough. But we'll go into this if you want to pull up your Bible or pull up your Bible app. Just a quick background on this passage of scripture. Here we see Jesus. And Jesus really, in this story, he just had this incredible encounter with this woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And this encounter was great because what Jesus did, he actually crossed over cultural boundaries and he asked this woman for a drink of water. But when he asked this woman for a drink of water, he wasn't really looking to consume anything. He was looking to contribute. Because here's this woman, she's at the well, and it's like, it's midday noon, like the hottest time of the day. Like, nobody's going to the well at this time. This woman is really trying to hide and get away from people. But Jesus wants to pour into her life. So he goes and he meets with her, and he sees her, he asks for some water, but really, he wants to accept her. He's crossing those boundaries to accept her. And then what's he do? He shares the truth with her. He kind of keeps her accountable on some stuff, and he basically reads her mail to her. And then he gives her and offers this new life. And she's completely changed. She goes away and she tells all these people. And then she comes back later and she's looking at this and she wants to try to bring all these people back. And this is kind of where we're going to pick up this story, but I would challenge you to go back and read through this story later this week. Read your Bibles, not just on a Sunday morning, but read your Bibles daily. And here's the story, the way the story's picking up here in verse 31. It says, meanwhile, his followers were begging him, teacher, eat something. But Jesus answered, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. So the followers asked themselves, did somebody already bring him food? And then Jesus said, "My food is to do what the one who sent me wants to do and to finish his work." Here's Jesus, right? And he knows that he's here to be more than just a consumer. He knows that he's here to be an example to us, to be more than just a consumer, but he's called to be a contributor. I love the line where he says, "My food is to do what the one who sent me wants me to do and to finish his work." Talk about a mission. Talk about not being distracted. Talk about knowing that it's more than just being a consumer. Talk about being a contributor. And this is really what we're called to do as well. We all have something we can contribute. And Jesus is, he's exampling this. He's putting this model before us so that we can live our lives as a contributor. And we all have something to contribute. Again, if you remember from the first part of this series, we talked about how there's no regret that God cannot redeem. The truth is God uses those things in our life that we may regret to use us so we can share that with others. He makes all things new, meaning your biggest mistake really becomes your greatest advantage in sharing what he's done in your life. Really, all the tests that you've gone through, he really uses that to become a testimony that he wants you to share. He uses your journey in order to contribute. And he wants you to become that change agent to contribute and to change others' lives and to share the life change that you've experienced as well. Because God has truly designed us to give. God has truly designed us to contribute and to give and to add value to others. In fact, we all have this gift that we're called to use to help the world and to contribute to others. In Romans 12, 6 through 9, it says this. It says, "We all have different gifts, each of which came because of the grace God gave us. The person who has the gift of prophecy should use that gift in agreement with faith. Anyone who has the gift of serving should serve. Anyone who has the gift of teaching should teach. Whoever has the gift of encouraging should encourage. Whoever has the gift of giving to others should give freely. And anyone who has the gift of being a leader should try hard when he leads. Whoever has the gift of showing mercy to others should do so with joy. And your love must be real." I love that last line. Here's all these things that we have, right? Here's everything that we can give. He says that we all have these different gifts, and then he says, your love must be real. When we love people, the life changes because we want to truly love them, because we have this authenticity about them that we want to share what we're going through. Our love must be real, and we're called to love people into a growing relationship with Jesus by being spiritual contributors. And we lead people to life change by contributing to their life. We're not called to be spiritual consumers, but we're called to be spiritual contributors. If you think about it, though, what's our nature? Our nature is to consume, right? If you think about it, we're born selfish. Like some of the first words out of a kid's mouth is mine. Mine, 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 right? I never had to teach my kids how to take something. It would be weird. Think about this. Like, hey, little Griffin. Griffin's my 3-year-old son. What if I had to say, went up to him and say, "Griffin, you are sharing too much. You just need to calm down with the sharing a little bit," right? No, that never happens. It's always, give me this. Let me have this. Take, take, take. That's mine, Daddy. That's mine. I think we were born that way. By nature, we consume. And really, if you look at our culture, it feeds into this. If you think about it, think about fast food. What is it? We can have it fast. We can have it right away. There's even the slogan, "Have it your way." So not only can we have it right now, but we can have it however we want. It's all about me. It's all about you, right? We grow up, we have this culture where it's taking that in. And really, it transfers over into our spiritual lives as well. We go into a church or a ministry and we think, man, what am I going to get out of this? What can I do? What can I take? What can I do that, right? It feeds over. We naturally just want to consume. If you think of that, that's why there's such things as diets that exist. That's why budgets exist. A diet exists, why? Because we're trying to cut back on what we consume. A budget exists because we're trying to cut back on what we consume. Because by nature, we just want to consume. I think it's a struggle that's been there and it's always going on too. And Jesus knew this. This is why he modeled this. This is why he modeled it to his disciples and us. Again, if you look at this passage of scripture, here's his disciples. In verse 31, it says, "Meanwhile, his followers were begging him, 'Teacher, eat something.'" Saying, "Teacher, eat something." What are they saying? Saying, "Jesus, why are you not consuming? Like, Jesus, you need to consume. That's the way. That's what we're supposed to do. It's not normal what you're doing. It's different. It's going against everything that we know. It's different." They're saying consume. But Jesus answered, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." So the followers ask themselves, does somebody already bring him food? I love that response. Here's Jesus. He's saying, I got food to eat that you know nothing about. So what do his disciples think? They're probably thinking like, what in the world? Jesus is holding out on us? Who brought him the good stuff? Like, he's probably got a pie wrapped in a satchel and like, what? I want some of that, right? Because they're obsessed with consuming. But then Jesus says, my food is to do what the one who sent me wants to do and to finish his work. Here's Jesus again. He's flipping the script, right? He's turning the tables upside down. He's changing things up and he's saying, you know what? Go against the norm. Go against our natural reaction to do more. To do more than consume, but to contribute. Because we're not called to be spiritual consumers. We're called to be spiritual contributors. And if you think about that statement, imagine what would happen if we lived that out. Imagine if people who weren't Christians, if they saw Christians and they saw that they were actually contributing into their lives. Think about how that would change non-Christians' view of Christians. Think about how that would change non-Christians' view of Jesus even, right? It would change everything. And the truth is, that's what we're called to be as a church. As a church, we're not called just to be a group of people that meet in a building. It's so much more than the building. In fact, God never even really meant for a church to meet in a building. He meant for it just to be a group of people that are spiritual contributors, that are changing the world. A group of people that don't just go to church, but are the church. Because the truth is, the church doesn't exist for us, but we as the church exist for the world. Imagine if people saw Christians. Imagine if people saw the church as a group of people who gave more than they received. Imagine if people saw the church as people who served more than they were served, who loved more than they were loved, who are so passionate about reaching out and contributing to others and the next generation that things would change, right? Who are so passionate about not judging those without Christ, but rather loving them into the family of God, where people are utilizing their gifts to help one another and to be the light of the world. This is what we're called to do. In Matthew 14 through 16, it says this. It says, you are the light that gives light to the world. A city that is built on a hill cannot be hidden. And people don't hide a light under a bowl. They put it on a lampstand so that the light shines for all the people in the house. In the same way, you should be a light for other people. Live so that they will see the good things you do and will praise your Father in heaven. Imagine if we are spiritual contributors in our life. I think the dreams that we have can only be accomplished if we are spiritual contributors. We are not called to be spiritual consumers, but we're called to be spiritual contributors. And to live this out, there's just a couple points of how we can apply this to our life. Number one, to be a spiritual contributor, I think we always need to be consistently growing our faith. We need to be growing our faith. So let me ask you right now, how big is your faith? Like, do you have big faith or does it need to grow? Right? Is your faith big enough to see people saved? Is your faith big enough to be praying and believing that your family members are going to make it and have a relationship with Jesus? Is your faith big enough to know that, man, you can make a difference in your community? You can make a difference in your workplace. Is your faith big enough to see orphans even being adopted? Is your faith big enough to believe that churches all across the community, all across the world are going to be full? Is your faith that big? Is your faith big enough to realize that if that happens, it's going to be a little bit messy, but it's going to be okay? Because I got enough faith that I'm going to walk through some messes with some people. Is our faith that big? Or is our faith really just big enough to bless our meal before we eat it? And listen, there's nothing wrong with blessing your meal before you eat it. But I think we need to grow our faith. I think we're called to be a spiritual contributor. And to do that, our faith needs to grow. In Hebrews 11, 1 through 2, it says this. It says, faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing. And that something is real, even if we do not see it. Faith is the reason we remember great people who lived in the past. The truth is, I think as long as we have a guarantee, we have room to grow our faith. As long as we know the outcome and we have control, there's room to grow our faith. Because you cannot have faith and control. You can't have them both at the same time. There's times in life where we need to take a risk, where we need to step out in faith. And we need to grow in those things that we hope for. To step towards your destiny means you have to step away from your security. I think it's crazy as I look back these past 3 years, really, we spent about a year planning before we actually planted the church. But I look back in these 3 years, I see where my faith was growing because we took these steps of faith. Again, I walked away from a good job to plant a church, not knowing if anybody's even going to show up, right? So a little bit on the risky side, but it grew my faith. Even as a team, I think we've experienced this as we've moved here. We've taken risk of faith. Many of you guys have sacrificially given. Many of you guys, again, spent evenings upon evenings working with us, spent a whole Saturday with us. It's a step of faith, and your faith has grown because of it. I think we need to take risk in order to grow our faith and to be a spiritual contributor. And then number two, it's important that we act upon our faith. What we do with our faith makes the difference. How we act upon it makes all the difference. In Hebrews 11, 6, just later in that verse, in that passage of scripture we read earlier, it says, without faith, no one can please God. Think about how tough this statement is. You cannot play it safe and please God. To act out our faith means that we better have some big, scary moments in life. To act out our faith means that we may have some moments where we say, this may not work, but I'm going to trust God enough to find out if it does. And I'm going to be okay with the outcome. Because if you're not scared every now and then, chances are you're not acting out your faith. See, if you can accomplish your goals without God, you're probably not acting upon the faith. You're probably playing it a little too safe. There's times where we have to act out. We have to take risk. We have to take a risk, even if it means that we may fail. And let me just challenge you with this. Never let the fear of failure talk you out of an act of faith. We need to act upon our faith. To be a spiritual contributor means every moment we are acting upon our faith. We're taking a risk. We're taking a risk of failure. Maybe it's taking a risk and actually inviting somebody to church, right? That's always a scary thing. They could say no, but guess what? They could say yes too. But we have to act out our faith. Maybe we're taking a risk and maybe it's trusting God with our finances, moving to that point of tithing, right? Maybe it's even just going from 2% to 4%, 4% to 6%. 6% to 10%, or whatever it is. Maybe it's giving a sacrificial gift or blessing somebody. But we need to act upon that. Maybe God's been challenging you to take a risk and to start a business. We need to act and step out on that faith. Maybe even God's maybe been working in you, and an act of faith would be really taking that next step and getting married or whatever. Maybe if you're really crazy, maybe that next step is adopting or fostering children or having kids of your own, right? That's a crazy act of faith. I'm just going to tell you that. But maybe that's where you're at, right? We need to act it out. We need to step out in faith. And to become a spiritual contributor, really you have to grow your faith and then you act upon your faith. And then also you need to utilize your gifts. Number three that we can apply this to our lives is we can utilize the gifts. And again, we all have something to give. In fact, many of us, we have multiple things. We have different parts of our story. We may have different talents. We may have all these different things. But if you think about it, we have all these things to give. And when a consumer's mindset is this, a consumer mindset is, you know what, I have all these things, I'm just going to keep them. I'm going to keep them hidden up. I'm going to lock them up. I'm going to keep them in my room, right? I'm going to let them be there. I'm going to let them just continue to grow and pile up. But a contributor gives. And as we give, if our hands are open, the chances are God's going to give us more too. He's going to allow us. When we hand something off, we can come back. We can receive more from God. And the more we receive from God, the better, because God's gifts are far better than anything we could ever save up ourselves. And he continues to give us new gifts. His mercies are new every single day. So let me ask you, how are you utilizing your gifts? Is there something you have that you're not really sharing with others? Is there a gift that you have that maybe you never even utilized, but it's time to? To be a spiritual contributor, we have to utilize our gifts. And the number four is let your yes be yes. Let your yes be yes. This means that you have to mean what you say and say what you mean. I think this application point is huge. Last week I quoted the great theologian Vanilla Ice. So this week I'll quote another great 90s theologian, Toby Keith, which is basically saying, you know what? A little less talk and a lot more action. That's what let your yes be yes says, right? Because I think the truth is, God, if you look back throughout history, if you look back through everything, God has always used people with little faith. He even says that if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. So our faith doesn't even need to grow that much. He can use somebody with just a little bit of faith. If you look back through, you can see all throughout history, all throughout the Bible, even just look at me, he uses people without that much talent or without that many gifts. He can do that. But our yes has to be yes. We have to follow through with what we say. Even in Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, he states this in Matthew 5:37. He says, say only yes if you mean yes, and no if you mean no. If you say more than yes or no, it's from the evil one. This is Jesus talking, right? And he's saying, if you say yes or no, if you say more than that, and you don't follow through, it's from the evil one. And this is something that Jesus probably actually lived out, like even behind the scenes. Here he is preaching, but his brother James talks about it later in James 5:12 and says, my brothers and sisters, above all, do not use an oath when you make a promise. Don't use the name of heaven, earth, or anything else to prove what you say. When you mean yes, say only yes. And when you mean no, say only no, so you will not be judged guilty. There's something about the follow through, right? That's where the rubber meets the road. It's where things get done. There's something about the follow through. If you think about even sports analogy, what's the most important part of a lot of sports stuff, right? It's the follow through. That's why in basketball camps, like, when you shot a basketball, you're supposed to leave your hand up and put your hand in the cookie jar. Like, I took that literally a little too much, but that's one of the things that you're supposed to do, right? When you're throwing a baseball, when you bend over your back and you do all these things, when you follow through, it makes the difference in the outcome. Follow through is key to becoming a contributor in our lives. Follow through is key in becoming a spiritual contributor and not just being a spiritual consumer. Letting your yes be yes and your no. To be a spiritual contributor, we have to let our yes be yes. And not only do we need to apply this to our personal lives, but even as a church, we have so many different opportunities where we can be spiritual contributors. Again, as a church, we are not called to be spiritual consumers, but we are called to be spiritual contributors. And I think God's put some incredible opportunities in our path. Again, if you look at July is just like bombarded with opportunities that we can serve this community. Again, as a church, we are going to be a part of the Grantonville 4th of July parade. So a week from tomorrow, July 4th, we're going to be a part of the Grantonville 4th of July parade. And I will tell you this, if you are not signed up, show up. It's going to be a blast. Show up at 9:30. The parking stuff closes. It's going to meet at the park out there. I think it's Briar something or whatever it is. You know where it is. But Briarwood? Wildwood. Something like that. Wildwood Park out in Grantonville. Parking shuts down at 10. So make sure you get there about 9:30, and then we actually start walking about 11 o'clock. I'll tell you this. This is one of the funnest things. We're going to pass out 1,500 different Frisbees. So 1,500 Frisbees that have our name. We're going to pass out a lot of candy, and we can eat some candy before we pass it out if you want to. That's fine. We're going to pass out a lot of flyers. But really, it's just going to be a great opportunity to be a part of the community, but it's also just a great opportunity for us as a church. Like, if you've been coming here and you're like, man, I haven't really connected with anybody, there's no better way than to hang out outside at a parade than to connect with others. Like, come there at 9:30 on next Monday, the July 4th. And then another thing, we have the July Streetside Saturday schools that are going on. They're going to be at 130 West Church Street. The Vineyard Grace Outreach Center is actually where it's going to be at. It's in the basement of Angela Mead's Chiropractic Center, but really gives us an opportunity to bring Sunday school on a Saturday to neighborhood kids. What an incredible opportunity to love and share the love of Jesus with people. What an incredible opportunity to be a spiritual contributor to the community. And again, there's multiple opportunities, even on a Sunday morning. If you look around, there's so many things going on. There's kids workers, so you can jump in kids' life. You can jump in a tech team, First Impressions. We're going to start our security. We're going to start ushering. Well, we have the ushers, but security is going to grow. We even some groundskeeping stuff as we have this. There's different opportunities to jump in and to contribute. And then again, with this building project, there's so much stuff. If you have skills, let us know. But as a church, we have the opportunity to be spiritual contributors. We also have the opportunity financially as well, by financially giving, to reach more people for Jesus, to reach family members, to reach friends, to reach neighbors, to reach coworkers, to expand his kingdom. And again, we are actually in week 2 of a fundraising project for this building. So if you look around, obviously there's going to take some money to update this building. And we're in week 2 of this fundraising project, which is called The Dream. So if you have your dream pamphlet, you can kind of pull that out. But over the next 5 weeks, what our goal is, to reach $25,000. It's to raise $25,000 to upgrade the building. So just a quick update of where we are so we know where we are. We are currently have received $11,508.50. We've currently received $11,508.50, which means that we can basically do everything. We can do everything besides chairs and carpet. The chairs and carpet are a big old chunk of money. So I know some of you guys who love the pews are like, we'll just keep it right there until we get to the pew. No, we're going all the way, guys. But we have another 9,079 pledge, which means we have a total between pledged and received $20,587.50. Meaning overall, we just need to raise $4,412 more. And then we need to continue to receive the remaining $13,941.50. And this is crazy that God's doing this. But he's called us to be a spiritual contributor. And if you haven't jumped in already, maybe God's calling you to be a spiritual contributor in that way. This dream of really taking a tangible item, of making something better, and what it's going to turn into, it's going to turn into souls. It's going to turn into expanding his kingdom. So I challenge you, as we turn in our tithes and offerings, as we turn in our responses, maybe if God's challenging you to give in that way, maybe make a financial pledge and give today. And I would say this, on your checks, please specify if it says dream project on there so that we can go to that, or building project or something. If you give online, you can put a drop-down box that says dream as well, just so we can track that and we can continue to give you updates. The band can come up now, but the truth is, we are called to be spiritual contributors. In our lives, we are called to be spiritual contributors. And we can do that by growing in our faith. And then once we grow in our faith, we have to act upon that faith and then utilize our gifts and let our yes be yes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for speaking to us. And God, we thank you for, more importantly, calling us to be spiritual contributors. We thank you for the opportunity to play a part in your perfect plan. And God, we ask that you would just help us. God, we ask that you help us lead and love others to a growing relationship by you, with you, by growing in our faith. God, we ask that you will help us to act upon that faith, and you will help us to utilize the gifts that you have given us. Truth is, we are all stewards of what you give us. Let us be a good steward, God, and let us utilize our gifts. And God, give us the strength and the power to follow through. Give us the strength and power to follow through and let your yes be yes and our no's. Thank you, God, for your plan for our lives, and help us live it out. And in Jesus' name, amen. So as we close today, we always want to be a church that gives an opportunity to respond to Jesus. So maybe you're here today, maybe you're listening to this and you're like, you know what? I want to be a spiritual contributor in my life. But I want to receive first from God. Maybe you're here today and you never made a commitment to follow Jesus, but you want to today. And he's asking you to do that. If that's you, on that response card, that first box says, I want to make a commitment to follow Jesus. Just checkmark that box. And if that's you, believe that God loves you. Believe that God gave his son Jesus for you so that you can be forgiven and that you could live out his plan. And then receive that gift. Receive his forgiveness and receive his love. That's you. Just please checkmark that first box. Maybe you're here today and just maybe God's just stirring in you. Maybe you've made a decision to follow Jesus, but you know what? You're thinking like, man, God's pushing me to that next level. Maybe God's asking you to do something. Maybe God's asking you to grow your faith. Maybe God's asking you to act upon your faith. Maybe you've got some gifts that you've kind of kept hidden. Maybe he's asking you to utilize those. Or maybe you've struggled with letting your yes be yes. Maybe you struggle with follow through. And God's asking you to take that next step and do that. Write down whatever that is. And then there's also a place for prayer requests. We'd love to partner with you in prayer. If you would, just take this moment to respond and to get any tithes or offerings in the dream donation, the dream pledge as well. Get that ready. And I'll be up in just a moment to explain the next steps.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com, and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.